praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. One of the great prophecies concerning the end times is found in Matthew chapter 24. This word spoken by the Lord Jesus concerned the magnificent temple in Jerusalem and its future destruction. Of course, this word was fulfilled later when the Roman general Titus and his army utterly destroyed the temple. To this day, the temple has never been rebuilt. But this is just the first of many prophecies given by the Lord Jesus in chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew. Bob Danker has joined us again as we begin today our consideration of these two crucial chapters. Welcome back to the program, Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris. Yes, these chapters, which concern the prophecies related to the end of this age, are very, very crucial. And we need to have a clear understanding of these chapters, which I hope we will be able to bring to all our listeners in the coming programs.
Well, Bob, these chapters are key, not just to the book of Matthew, really to the whole New Testament, particularly concerning the prophecies concerning the Lord's coming and the end of this age, as you just said. To really understand and interpret these chapters, we need to see who they apply to. I think it would be helpful if you take a few minutes for us and establish the basic principles that will help all of our listeners to understand these important chapters in the coming programs.
Yes, it's very important to understand that chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew are the Lord's answer to a question that his disciples asked him on the Mount of Olives. After the Lord had spoken concerning the destruction of the temple, the disciples came to him and they asked him, "Lord, when will these things take place? And what is the sign of your coming and of the consummation of this age?" So the disciples asked the Lord a question, and the Lord's word in Matthew 24 and 25 was a long and very thorough answer to this question. And in giving his answer to the disciples, the Lord spoke a definite word concerning the three categories of people who are living on this earth and who will be on this earth at the end times. These three categories of people are the Jews as God's Old Testament chosen ones, the church as the New Testament believers, and the Gentiles, the unbelieving nations living on this earth, who also will play a role, a very important role in the consummation of the age. So the Lord's word as the answer to the disciples' question was a long and thorough answer to them with many, many details.
Well, Bob, let's get into chapter 24. In this first section, we're going to touch just the first two verses, but they contain a lot. This is Matthew 24, 1 and 2. "And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. But he answered and said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall by no means be left here a stone upon a stone which shall not be thrown down.'" Of course, he's prophesying there concerning the destruction utterly of the temple. And this portion came immediately after the Lord's declaration at the end of chapter 23. And as we join Witness Lee, he's going to refer to these verses as well. Matthew 23, verses 38 and 39. "Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, You shall by no means see me from now on until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's join Witness Lee with his first portion.
The record of the prophecy of the kingdom given on Mount of Olives is a continuation of that declaration forsaking Israel. And the declaration forsaking Israel was given at the end of chapter 23. Right after that declaration, chapter 24 begins. And Jesus came out from the temple. And here indicates that these two chapters are a direct continuation of the foregoing three verses. He came out from the temple. Your house is left to you. The house of God was left as the house of the robbers to those rebels. After this declaration, right away, the Lord Jesus left. The glory of the Lord left the temple. When the Lord Jesus left the temple and was going away, here it says, and his disciples came to him. The Lord Jesus forsook that temple, leaving that as their house for desolation. But the disciples still held a kind of appreciation, trying to bring him back. The disciples showed the buildings of the temple to the Lord. The Lord didn't say, I have seen them. But the Lord said, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, a stone shall by no means be left upon a stone, which should not be thrown down. You are now seeing these things. You are pointing out all these things to me, building by building. But you have to know, one day all this will be leveled. This answer shocked the concept of the disciples. So the Lord Jesus had nothing more to say, and the disciples had nothing more to ask, because he was too serious. The Lord Jesus left that den of the robbers, and the disciples still were boasting of those buildings. And the Lord Jesus told them, one day they all be leveled. Not one stone will be left upon another.
Well, Bob, this must have been a shocking word to the disciples. It's hard, I think, for us to imagine, and I say this having recently been in Israel and spending a lot of time in Jerusalem and at the old temple site, of course. No longer is there a temple there. But it's hard for us to imagine, I think, the magnificence of that temple and what a prominent place that it occupied in their world. Yet here the Lord is foretelling its absolute destruction. But Bob, more than just the destruction of an outward holy place was being revealed by the Lord here, wasn't it?
Yes, Chris. It was easy for the disciples to understand the Lord's word concerning the destruction of the temple, as shocking as that word was, because it involves something physical. But what the disciples didn't see so clearly was that the Lord, when he walked out of the temple, was actually forsaking the temple. And this was equivalent to something that happened in the Old Testament at least two times. In the book of 1 Samuel, in the early part of the book, we read that the ark was captured by the Philistines.
Right.
And when Eli, the priest, heard this news, he said, "The glory has departed from Israel." So this ark, which is really a type of Christ, represented God in his glory. And when the ark was taken away, the glory was taken away. And then in Ezekiel, in chapter 10, we also read of another occasion where the glory of Jehovah departed from the threshold of the temple and went and stood above the cherubim. And this was the second time that God's glory had left the temple. So here, the Lord Jesus, who is God incarnate, walked out of the temple and told the Jews he was leaving to them their house, a house of desolation. This was the equivalent of the glory leaving the temple. Actually, the Lord's forsaking of the temple was the Lord's forsaking of the nation of Israel as well. Because of the rejection of the Lord by the Jews, the Lord was forced to reject the nation of Israel, and this rejection has endured throughout the New Testament age. For nearly 2,000 years, the Lord has been away from Israel, and he will be away from Israel until the end of the age when he comes physically from the heavens to the earth, and then as prophesied in the book of Zechariah, all the Jews will see him and will turn their hearts to him and will repent and receive him. So this is a very important word about the Lord's forsaking of the temple and the nation of Israel.
Well, Bob, this encounter is taking place as the Lord Jesus, as you just said, is walking out of the temple, and his disciples are catching up with him and trying to get him to reconsider and look at the beauty and the magnificence, etc., etc. But he knows where he's going. He's going to the Mount of Olives, which is just across the way from the Temple Mountain, and they are following him. And when they get there, they ask him, "When shall these things take place, and what will be the signs of your coming back?" Let's rejoin Witness Lee now as we pick up the Lord's reply to their questions.
Verse 6, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not disturbed." War among the human race from the ascension of Christ has been all the time intensified. And you have to realize, according to history, nearly all the wars were fought around Mediterranean. And where is Mediterranean? Mediterranean is the place where the good land is. "For these things must take place, but the end is not yet." The end of what? The end of this age. Then verse 7. "For nation shall rise against nation." Nation here really means people. Many nations, that means many peoples. And mainly, this word refers to Gentile. This is somewhat like a kind of civil war. And the kingdom against kingdom. This is a kind of international war. So here you have civil war, and you have the international war. This happened all the time in history since the Lord ascended to the heavens till the Second World War. "And there shall be famines and earthquakes in various places." In the First War, Germany was defeated because she was short of bread. History tells us wars always bring in famine. And this is clearly indicated also in Revelation chapter 6. Don't forget those four horses. What is covered in these few verses is the cause of those four horses. Here you have war, famine, no doubt death follows. Later on, you will see the gospel. Now here, added one thing more, earthquakes. Nearly every year has more increase of the earthquake than last year. All these things are the beginning of the birth pains. This indicates some kind of woman was suffering there. All these sufferings are considered by the Lord's prophecy as birth pains. Some woman was in there the delivery of a child. So all the suffering to her were a kind of birth pains.
Well, Bob, this is a very interesting portion. A lot of Bible students love to talk about these things in Matthew 24. But particularly, I'd like to focus on this matter of the birth pangs mentioned here. This seems to be a connection to the woman bringing forth the man-child in Revelation chapter 12, isn't it?
Well, Chris, in this portion that Witness Lee spoke about here, it's important to understand that the Lord was speaking to his disciples, and at the same time, they were Jews and they were believers. So even though this first section of the Lord's prophecy from verses 4 through 31 concerns the nation of Israel in general, still there are some things at the beginning of this word that can be applied to the New Testament believers. When the Lord spoke about wars and famines and earthquakes, of course, he wasn't referring only to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He was referring to the whole world because these things took place in the entire world.
Right.
And then the Lord said that people would deliver them to tribulation and would kill them, and that they would be hated by all the nations because of the Lord's name.
Mm.
Now, this word refers not only to the nation of Israel, but even more to the New Testament believers, because these are the ones who are persecuted and hated for the name of the Lord. Now, here the Lord said, all these things are just the beginning of birth pangs. So, Witness Lee pointed out, there must be a woman referred to here who's travailing to give birth. And actually, this woman here represents the New Testament believers in all their sufferings and tribulations from the time of the Lord's ascension to the time of the Lord's coming back. Actually, God's people, as a travailing woman, are always in pain to bring forth a child. In God's economy, His goal is to have many sons. This is the goal of God in His economy. And to bring forth these sons requires the suffering, the tribulation, the persecution, and the travailing of all His people. So in the beginning of this section of the Lord's prophecy, the Lord was actually referring to something that would be experienced by all the believers in the 2,000 years before the Lord's coming. But in Revelation 12, we see another woman there. This woman is a great sign. This woman has the stars as a crown on her head. She has the moon under her feet, and she's clothed with the sun. Well, this woman here in particular refers not just to the New Testament believers, but to all the people of God, beginning from Adam in the Old Testament, going through the Old Testament period of the nation of Israel, and all the way into the New Testament. All of God's people through all the generations are portrayed in Revelation 12 as a woman. And this woman in Revelation 12 is also in travail to bring forth a child. This child whom the woman is travailing to bring forth is the man-child. And the birth of this man-child will take place directly before the consummation of the age, which is the last 3.5 years of this age, the time of the great tribulation. In fact, the birth of the man-child will bring in the great tribulation and the Lord's coming.
Let's get back to our message today. There's one major point left in this chapter, in the early portion of this chapter, that we want to see regarding the signs of the Lord's coming back. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for that.
Then verse 14, and these gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations, Gentile nations, and then the end shall come. Then the age shall be ended. Before the ending of this age, there will be the things mentioned in all these verses concerning the Jews. It's brief, but still very much in details. And this really corresponds with the history. This is the actual history concerning the Jews from Christ's ascension till the end of this age. And the end of this age equals to the Great Tribulation. Before the Great Tribulation comes, so many things covered in these verses will transpire one by one. And the last main one is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. It is not the gospel of grace, but the gospel of the kingdom. the gospel of grace has been preached to every corner of the sixth continent. But that is not the gospel of the kingdom. That is a lower gospel. But the gospel of the kingdom is higher. And this higher gospel of the kingdom will be brought to every continent. And this will transpire before the great tribulation. And this, telling the truth, is the strongest sign of the consummation of this age. This is a sign. What is the sign of your coming? And what is the sign of the consummation of the age? The main sign is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to every continent.
Well, Bob, I wish we had more time for this fellowship because this is a big point. Verse 14 clearly says this gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the inhabited earth as a sign of the end of the age. This is a specific phrase, Bob, the gospel of the kingdom. How does it differ from the term gospel of grace that Paul used in Acts chapter 20?
Chris, it's important to see that there is a difference between the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom, which is a little bit different from the gospel of grace. Actually, the gospel of the kingdom includes the gospel of grace. Whatever's in the gospel of grace is also in the gospel of the kingdom. It concerns not only the receiving of the divine life according to God's grace, but also includes the matter of denying our natural life, denying ourselves, living by the divine life which we received through the gospel of grace, and also fulfilling the higher law of the kingdom of the heavens, the surpassing righteousness which the Lord mentions in Matthew 5 through 7. The gospel of the kingdom brings people into the kingdom of the heavens, which includes the church in this age, the reality of the church. This gospel results in the building up of the body of Christ to consummate the new Jerusalem to bring the Lord back. Well, as the Lord said, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom will be a great sign that the end of the age is coming. In fact, Chris, I believe that what we are doing on this very broadcast is part of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to the entire inhabited earth. And the Lord will use this preaching or this ministering of this higher gospel on these radio broadcasts through the gospel of Matthew to bring in the end of this age.
Well, Bob, there's no way to do it in the 2.5 minutes or so that we had left today to do it in an exhaustive way. That was a wonderful summation. We've had 62 programs now in the book of Matthew, and I think all of them bring us to this point. And, of course, we have the printed volumes that unveil this matter in much, much greater detail. We're out of time. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense His life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.
does it mean to love God?
For in pouring out this ointment on my body, she has done it for my burial. Wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be told. Matthew 26, verses 12 and 13. Mary received the revelation of the Lord's death through the Lord's words. Hence she grasped the opportunity to pour upon the Lord the best that she had. To love the Lord with our best requires a revelation concerning Him. The story of the gospel is that the Lord loved us, and the story of Mary is that she loved the Lord. We must preach both. One is for our salvation, and the other is for our consecration. Scripture, Matthew 26, verses 12 and 13, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.